a shame the way you hurt me. It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. I'm sitting all alone by the telephone waiting for your call. When you don't call at all, it's a shame the way you mess around with your man. It's a shame the way you play with my emotions. It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. You're like a child at play on a sunny day.
Welcome back, everybody. It's a shame. It really is. It's a shame by the Spinners. My name is Kieran Light. This is Still Talking. I'm the guy who doesn't shut up about sports. Now, Kieran, what is the shame you're speaking of? Well, for the third week in a row, I have to talk about the New York Jets. That's what the shame is. Okay? I'm sick of talking about this team. But unfortunately, I have a duty to bring my listeners only the best NFL and NBA news. And it just so happens the Jets finally did something. They traded for Devontae Adams. So, on Tuesday, it was announced the day after the Jets lost on Monday night to the Bills. I'll talk about that later. The Raiders have traded Devontae Adams to the Jets for a conditional third-round pick. Conditional. Meaning, there are conditions with the pick, obviously. Here they are. If Devontae Adams becomes a second or first-team All-Pro this year, then that pick turns into a second-round pick. Or if Devontae Adams is on the active roster, if the Jets are in the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl. So pretty much, if the Jets make the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, or Devontae Adams is really, really good, that becomes a second-round pick. And look, if you're trying to go all in on a Super Bowl like I've been talking about with the Jets for the past 3 weeks now, almost a month, that pick really means nothing. Which is why I was so annoyed that they hadn't made this move yet. They could have had Devontae Adams like 2 weeks ago. They could have had him, like, instantly. As soon as he requested that trade, they could have had him. So I really don't know why things took so long. Just another example why the Jets franchise just isn't that good. They're not well run. Now, I will say, a few weeks ago, last week I was really ragging on the Jets. The week before that, I was talking about the Devontae Adams possible trade. And they said that if they got him, it would sort of change everything I feel about them. I want to walk back on that a little bit. Look, Devontae Adams going to the Jets absolutely changes a lot for them, and mostly for the better. But I don't want to go so far as to say that they're totally, like, I think of them in a completely new light. Because I don't. I've seen too much to the contrary. Before I go to rag on the Jets again, I will say, though, having Devontae Adams on this Jets offense makes things so much easier for them now. Because now Garrett Wilson is the wide receiver too. That's just one of the reasons. And a lot of people, especially like fantasy analysts, they're saying like, oh, this is going to like ruin things for Garrett Wilson. And now he's not going to be as effective. He was just getting all the targets and he was finally getting chemistry with Rodgers. I want to push back on that a little bit because look, all that's probably true. He's probably going to get less targets. I mean, he's not going to get 23 like he did against the Vikings. But he's going up against cornerback twos. He's not going to have safeties and other DBs shadowing him. He's not going to have, like, he's not going to pull as much. His gravitational pull on the field is not as heavy anymore. It's alleviated by the addition of Devontae Adams. So now Garrett Wilson, who's still up and coming, he's still a young up and coming receiver. He hasn't truly had a great season, and it looked like he was starting to have one now. And I think that's going to be even truer now that Devontae Adams is there. I think he's going to feast just in the intermediate, and he's going to find all these soft spots because again, the defense is just can't invest in as much in defending him. Still, Alan Lazard seems to be a problem because you know he and Rodgers have a connection. You know, the New York Packers are just, they're good. Additionally, now, the defense, I think, now that Devontae Adams is there, they can't focus as much on the run. They have to respect Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson. So, they're not going to be stacking the box as much. They're not going to say, okay, you know what, let's put one guy on Garrett Wilson and then put everybody else up front to stop Breece Hall. They can't do that anymore. So, this run game is going to get a lot better. We saw on Monday night, after they had fired Robert Saleh, and they took play calling duties away from Nathaniel Hackett, that the offense looked better. The offense had their best game they've had all year. They still lost. I'm not saying that they didn't deserve to lose. I do think that they deserve to lose. But the offense looked better. So now you have an improving offense. Rodgers had his best game of his career. His best game of his season. Really his best game as a Jet. So you have Aaron Rodgers getting into a groove. This offense getting into a groove. Garrett Wilson's heating up. Breece Hall finally had 100 yards. Now you add Devontae Adams. This offense is going to be one of the better ones in the league. Probably like a top 10. I could see them scoring 28 points a game for the rest of the year. Now, the reason why I'm walking back on my word from 2 weeks ago, I don't want to automatically anoint these guys as the kings of the AFC East. And I don't want to put them on a pedestal this early and say, "Oh, all their problems are fixed." Because one, we just haven't seen Devontae Adams play yet. For all we know, he could suck. I mean, we saw with Deshaun Watson. He went to the Browns. We all thought he was going to be great, and the Browns are going to be great. Deshaun Watson is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. Actually, no, he is the worst quarterback in the NFL. So not that I think it's going to happen at all, nor do I really want it to, because I traded for Devontae Adams in fantasy. But, you know, that's a possibility, and for that reason, I don't want to anoint them number one. And also, there's so many other issues with this team. I hate how distracting everything is surrounding the Jets. Because Aaron Rodgers is his own circus of quotes and sound bites and weird darkness retreats. And then you have Woody Johnson firing coaches left and right because he feels embarrassed. And then you have there's always something going on with the Jets ever since Rodgers got there. And that's distracting for a team. I said it last week, the Chiefs are so good because they focus on football. Like, what's surrounding the Chiefs is distracting them? Taylor Swift? No, absolutely not. That just brings them more attention. That doesn't distract them. Championship teams don't have distractions or just things that will take their eye off the ball. The Patriots never did. They won 6 Super Bowls. You know? This is what good teams do. Same with the Warriors in basketball. They won 4. They never had any major sort of events going on outside of basketball. And so I don't trust the Jets. I still don't trust the Jets. Like I said last week, I need to see astronomical, meteoric change from this team before I start to believe in them. Look, is the division weaker? Yes. The Dolphins are pretty much out of it. The Patriots just suck. Patriots, their whole focus this season is Drake May good. And the Bills look weaker. So you might say, hey, you know what? Look at the Jets. They got Devontae Adams now. The division's weak. Aaron Rodgers is playing his best. Yeah, this is ours. Well, yes, on Monday, the offense and Rodgers had their best game, but do you want to know which side of the ball had their worst game? The defense. Do you want to know who probably could have helped with that? Robert Saleh, the guy that Woody Johnson fired for no reason. Like I said, he was not the greatest coach in the league, but he also wasn't the worst, by far. If he was a problem on this team, again, like I said, he was probably like the 8th problem. And he would have been an asset on Monday night against Buffalo. So look, Devontae Adams being on this team changes a lot, but it doesn't change how I feel about them. Because to me, it is still the same Jets. It's still Aaron Rodgers being arrogant and having too much control. Because now, and also with Saleh gone, there's just a power vacuum. They're doing everything they want or anything that Rodgers wants. So he has all the control there. He'll claim that he doesn't. But he has all the pull. It seems like no one in that building can criticize him. And we saw that on Monday night when they lost. On Monday night, they were playing Buffalo at home, and they lost 23-20. Now there are a myriad of different reasons you could point out as to why they lost. Greg Zuerlein missed 2 field goals. The defense, like I said, did not play well. There were some moments in that game where the defense could have stepped up, but they didn't, and they folded. And so the Bills come out with the win. But the moment at the end of the game that sealed it was Aaron Rodgers, your savior, your 40-year-old, doesn't like medicine, traditional medicine it is. Yeah, your 40-year-old doesn't like traditional medicine, sits in the dark, arrogant, egotistical quarterback, throws a game-losing interception in the first game after Saleh is fired, too. Remember, Saleh was fired after that game against the Vikings. That was a game where Rodgers threw three interceptions, which isn't Saleh's fault. And on that play, it was late fourth quarter. They needed a big, big chunk play. And so Rodgers, he gets the snap. There's not a lot. There wasn't that much pressure. He had to move around a bit, but that's easy for Aaron Rodgers to do. That's what he does. That's why Stephen A. Smith says it's a bad man. He throws super far down the field, except it's not far enough. It was completely and utterly underthrown. He was targeting Mike Williams. Mike Williams had to come back to the ball because he had to stop all his momentum quickly and like lean forward or lean backwards. He slips and he falls to the ground. At that same moment that he's about to make the catch, though, Bill's safety comes in, gets the interception. And look, one of my friends said that it was on Mike Williams. I don't agree, but that still could be true. What angers me so much about Aaron Rodgers is that after this game-losing interception that he threw, he goes into the press conference and they ask him about it, because of course they're going to. They're reporters doing their jobs. And he just throws Mike Williams under the bus. He says, yeah, Mike was supposed to run, the red line. He didn't run the red line. He ran the wrong route. That's what he said. Whether or not that's true, again, one of my friends, I was debating this with them. He said, look, Emmanuel Acho did some analysis video explaining that, yes, it was on Mike Williams. Regardless of that, you don't go in front of the press after a nationally televised football game and throw one of your teammates under the bus. You don't do that. Aaron Rodgers maybe was not the sole reason why they lost that game. In fact, he was probably one of the main reasons why they're in it. Remember that Hail Mary throw at the end of the half? Great throw. Vintage Rodgers. He had his best game of the season. He did. But he threw a game-losing interception. Again, whether or not that's on Mike Williams, you just don't do that. And it proved to me once again, Rodgers' best... Monday night proved to me once again, Aaron Rodgers' best two throws. Hail Marys and guys under the bus. Because, to me, that is just such... ego. I don't know what else to say about that. The Jets, because now that they've fired Saleh, and they just, again, they want to do everything for Rodgers, they have no sense of true leadership. They have just one man's narrow-minded id overlapping with his ego and his arrogance. Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great player. Easy Hall of Famer. One of the best players I've ever had the luck to watch, the opportunity to watch, the honor to watch play football. But in these twilight years in New York, he has become such a mire. Every single time I see him talk, I get angry. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a bad person. I don't think he's like an ass. I don't think that he's like rude. But I do think that he's gotten it so far in his head that he can do no wrong. And then he goes, you know, onto the Pat McAfee show, where they give him a platform, and he just gets to say whatever he wants to say to try and rationalize his point of view, instead of taking any kind of accountability. It angers me so much every time I see it. Because I revere these athletes. Because to me, like, this is my life. Sports are my life. I watch these guys play. I'm okay with giving them hundreds of millions of dollars because they're an inspiration and this is an art form that I love to watch and analyze. And because of that reverence that I have, I want to hold my athletes to a higher standard. My favorite athletes are the ones that do the greatest outside of their sport. You know, DeMar DeRozan is my favorite basketball player, and he's done so much for mental health, and he's overcome so much. AJ Green, my favorite football player of all time, the reason why I'm a Bengals fan. Right, he's overcome so much. He's gone through a lot of tragedy, and he's been nothing but a good person. Those are the kinds of guys I like. I don't like, and again, I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers off the field is some kind of criminal or, like, again, just an evil person. But what I'm seeing here is someone who's just allowed and enabled time and time again to do what he wants. There are so many valid criticisms of Aaron Rodgers, and there are multiple different facets that will come to defend him. In his last couple of years in Green Bay, you say, well, you know, does Aaron Rodgers really have anything left in the tank? You know, hey, we're seeing some cracks in his game. He's not worth X, Y, and Z. But then in another NFL franchise comes, they trade for him, they give him massive contracts, and they say, oh, yeah, you're our guy. So then that validates things for him. And then you watch him in New York and you say the same things, that only worse now. Hey, he's injured. He's old. Those cracks are showing even more. And then you have these fans that will just defend him mercilessly. And they'll say, like, I don't think that, by the way, I don't think he only ever gets defended by fans. There are definitely, I'd say it's about 50-50. There are two factions, people that don't like him, people that do. But, you know, he gets defended online. And then he gets the opportunity to talk directly to the people and just spew whatever nonsense he wants to say. And then it's so frustrating. I don't like seeing one man have all this kind of control over a team. No matter what he wants, he gets. And it just angers me so much. Look, this was a segment about the Jets, and I started just going off on Aaron Rodgers. The thing is, look, the Jets moving forward, now they got Devontae Adams. They're going to be a good team. But as long as Aaron Rodgers still has this much control and there's no sense of leadership, true leadership in New York, this will be an absolute disaster. You don't throw your teammates under the bus like that. You don't do that. That's just not fair at all, whether or not he ran the wrong route. You say that in a meeting or out where there's no cameras. You say, hey, man, look, you ran the wrong route here. You talk to him directly, and then you try and work on it. You don't let him hear it through reporters and on Twitter. Talking about the other team on Monday night, though, the Jets were not the only team that made moves for a receiver. The Bills saw what the Jets did to trade for Devontae Adams. And like an hour after that happened, they said, okay, we need to get a guy. And so then they trade a 2025 third-round pick and a 2026 seventh-round pick for Amari Cooper. Now, Amari Cooper is probably over the moon that he gets out of Cleveland, because we all know Amari Cooper is a good talent. But he's just been in Cleveland for so many years now, after being in Dallas and in Oakland, where he had his best years. And Cleveland is so bad. This is a new low for the Browns, and that's saying something, because I don't think I've seen a sports franchise go as low as the Browns have gone. You know, Deshaun Watson, the worst quarterback in the league, the worst contract in sports history, the worst trade in sports history, and the worst person probably, or at least currently, in the sporting world. He is leading an offense for the Browns that is the lowest the Browns have ever had since 2000. There's a tweet here from Austin Gale. I'll just read it out. The Cleveland Browns' offensive success rate in weeks 1 to 3 is the lowest it's ever been in any season for the franchise since 2000. Deshaun Watson is leading an all-time franchise bad offense for the Cleveland Browns. Remember, since 2000, the Browns have gone 0-16, and then in a two-year span, they went 1-31. They paid this man $230 million. They traded for him after all these accusations. And this is the offense that he's leading. So Amari Cooper gets a chance to get out of there. I am so happy for him. And I'm happy for Josh Allen, too, because I think this is probably a match made in heaven, sort of. I think it's kind of like a watered-down version of what the Jets did with Devontae Adams, but it works. Because now Josh Allen has a go-to guy. Look, the Bills last year, they had Stephon Diggs, obviously. And then they get rid of him in the offseason because Diggs didn't want out, or he wanted out. Things just really weren't working between Diggs and the Bills. And so the Bills move forward without him, and they try to do what I call the Josh and Friends experiment, where it's Josh Allen and four okay receivers, some high upside guys, some young guys, Shakir, Keon Coleman looks really good to me, honestly. And they're just going to trot him out, and we're going to go with this. And look, it showed flashes. It definitely could work. They started out 3-0. Josh Allen, of all people, hasn't thrown an interception yet. So it showed some flashes, but it just wasn't enough. Even though they beat the Jets on Monday night, that was shown that it just wasn't enough. That was especially true with the Ravens a few weeks ago when they got absolutely obliterated. So now they have Amari Cooper, who, look, has not been himself in Cleveland, but who would be? Again, with that bad of an offense and that bad of a quarterback. So, look, Amari Cooper, now that he's in Buffalo, suddenly his value as an NFL receiver has just skyrocketed. It's like the Undertaker coming out of the coffin. That's exactly what just happened. Amari Cooper now has a chance to have a resurgence here. And so, again, this is another reason why I didn't want to anoint the Jets number one team in the AFC East right after getting Devontae Adams, because, well, the Bills just got Amari Cooper, who isn't as good and doesn't have the, you know, chemistry and history with Allen like Adams does with Rodgers. But still, the Bills now, who have a solid defense, they finally have a good run game. Even when James Cook was out, was it Ray Davis? Yeah, Ray Davis came in and had 97 yards. So not only is their run game just capable of getting 100 yards, it's good enough to the point where they can miss their starting running back and still be effective. And now you got Amari Cooper, which takes, in the same light as Adams with Wilson, takes the heat off these other Josh and Friends guys like Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir. And so now I think the Bills are going to be a lot more versatile. Josh Allen will, you know, things are going to be open more for him to run and just be a physical quarterback, which is where he has his best success, some of his best success, actually, because he can throw it down the field anywhere. He's, again, somehow he hasn't thrown an interception yet, which is like uncanny for Josh Allen. That's unheard of. And now he's got a good receiver. So Bills moving forward, still my pick to win this division. I picked them before the season. I don't think that that's going to change now that Devontae Adams is a Jet, especially now that Amari Cooper is a Bill. And also, after trading for Amari Cooper, and this is just a little tidbit, after trading for Amari Cooper, the Bills released one of their wide receivers, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS, who's probably going to go to the Jets, if we're being honest, because, again, Aaron Rodgers cares for one thing and one thing only, and that is having his friends from Green Bay. So Marquez Valdez-Scantling is probably going to be a Jet in the near future. I think it's hilarious and just shows, again, how much pull Aaron Rodgers has in New York. There's a world where the Jets trot out a receiving trio of Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard, and MVS with Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball. That's hilarious to me. Now, finishing up here, I want to talk about some NBA news, because Sam Presti, who we know is an avid listener of this show. Hi, Sam. I know you're out there. Sam Presti, Thunder GM. He is an absolute genius. And I know that's been said by everybody for the past few years. And it's just every single time there's something about the Thunder's executive decisions, it all makes us say, wow, he's such a genius. Every single time we think that Sam Presti couldn't be smarter, he is. Because now, Kawhi Leonard, the franchise player for the Clippers, who they gave all this money to, it was announced yesterday by Shams that he is out indefinitely to start the season with right knee inflammation. Meaning that the Clippers don't have Kawhi Leonard. They're led by only James Harden and Norman Powell. They don't have much. In fact, they have Harden, and that's really it. The Clippers now are going to be, like, they're going to go off to just an absolutely crappy start. I could see them, let's say, okay, indefinitely, again, isn't a definite timeline. Well, really, who would have thought? So I'm just going to assume Kawhi is out for, like, the first 20 games. In that time, I'd say the Clippers go 5-15. And that could be a deep enough hole for them to be, like, just incredibly bad throughout the season. And that's 20 games is being generous, if we're being honest. Kawhi Leonard, knowing his injury history, and again, indefinitely can mean something completely different. He could miss upwards of the first half of the season. So the Clippers, I don't want to say it's over and that they're done, because the NBA season hasn't even started yet, but it's looking pretty grim. They're not going to be good. And so why is Sam Presti a genius? Because guess who owns their pick swap? Oh, yeah, the Thunder. The Thunder, who have all these draft picks that we've been talking about for years, kind of like the rest of the NBA world has been fearing for years, because we're like, oh, God, man, when the Thunder's picks kick in, they're just going to have everything, and they're going to get their way every draft season. And it looks like that's finally happening. Because in the 2025 draft, the next draft, guess how many picks they have in the first round alone? Five. The Oklahoma City Thunder have five first-round picks, and I'll break it down here. They have their own pick, obviously. But then they have Philadelphia's, which is top six protected. They have Miami's, which is lottery protected. And they have Utah's, which is top 10 protected. But then they have the Clippers pick swap. Meaning, if the Clippers are worse than the Thunder have the ability to trade, to switch picks with them. Or if the Clippers have a worse pick than the Thunder, if they're better than them in the regular season, then the Thunder can say, okay, we're going to keep our pick. In essence, the Thunder won't lose this situation, whether or not the Clippers actually play well. If the Clippers play well and they're better than the Thunder just keep their own pick. And if the Clippers play like crap and their pick's better than OKC's, then they keep theirs. But the reason why Kawhi's injury is even more impactful is because guess who's in this draft class? Cooper Flagg. We just had Wemby a couple of years ago and Zion a few years before that. Flagg is one of the best prospects. He's been hyped up for like 2 years now. I've seen so many clips and just reports about him. He's going into his college career here at Duke, or not here at Duke, but he's going to Duke. Probably going to be a one and done. He's probably going to be really, really, really good. And this is a Thunder team that already has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren and other really young, promising players. They have five first-round picks. And the Clippers could be one of the worst teams in the NBA. So let's say that all of these protected picks don't fall into whichever spots they need to for them to go back to the original team. Let's say the Thunder just get all these picks. They could easily trade up for Cooper Flagg. They wouldn't even necessarily have to if the Clippers are as bad as we think that they might be with Kawhi out. So that means next year, there is a very real possibility that the Oklahoma City Thunder trot out a lineup of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of either Lou Dort or Alex Caruso at the two, then J-Dub, Cooper Flagg, Chet Holmgren. And then on the bench, they have, again, either Lou Dort or Alex Caruso, but then Hartenstein, other J-Dub, Jalen Williams, the second one. And they have all these other young guys. And then they still have just a war chest of picks for the next, like, 10 years. The Thunder, already going into this year, were my pick to be the best team in the West. They were the number one team in the West last year, and that's when they didn't have expectations. No one thought that they would be that good. They thought we'd make the playoffs, but not that they'd be the one seed. And now they're just going to get better and better because all these young stars are rising, and there's no reason at all to believe that they might fall off. So Kawhi Leonard, yeah, he's out. And frankly, as a Raptors fan, I don't like wishing on injuries for anybody, obviously. But it makes me feel a little bit vindicated, just a little bit vindicated, because when Kawhi leaves your team after winning a championship, it's kind of crushing. So, you know, is this karma for Kawhi Leonard leaving the Raptors? It might be. Yeah.
Get a ticket. It was a soul.
Jukebox here is going to end things off here.
Heard the roar of the crowd. He could fit down the scene.
My name's Kieran Light. This has been Still Talking. The mics are coming off now, but
like
I'm not going to
do it. He heard one guitar. One way.
shadow.